Kwaba, Ikhabo, Jumbo, and hello, Bankless Africa. It's the end of quite a heavy week, which means it's time for a dose of Sats and Gwei. We bring you reports, updates, and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes across the globe. I am Miss Purple, and as you can tell, unfortunately, Nikki is not here today due to some unforeseen circumstances. Now, with that, we're going to get straight into our crypto markets. And they're not looking phenomenal, as can be expected given the circumstance. We're going to start off with Bitcoin, which is currently at $20,627.44 from last week's $22,361.53. Ethereum is currently at $1,473.39 from last week's $1,599.78. Optimism, on the other hand, is currently at $1.87 from last week's $2.45. Matic is at $1.08 from last week's $1.15. The bank token is at 0.007218 from 0.007432. And unfortunately, the USDC token is still depegged, currently sitting at $0.96 instead of the 1-to-1. Moving into our national currencies, the Ghanaian cedi is sitting at 12.29 cedi to the dollar, up by 4.2% from last week's 12.83 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian naira is at 460.52 naira to the dollar, down by 0.01% from last week's 460.46 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho luti and South African rand are at 18.32 luti and rand to the dollar, down by 0.99% from last week's 18.14 luti and rand to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is at 128.37 shillings to the dollar, down by 0.29% from last week's 128 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 616.45 franc to the dollar, up by 0.27% from last week's 618.15 franc to the dollar. To do a quick recap of some of the headlines that we found to be particularly interesting from last week, we're going to start off with South Africa, which was unfortunately added to the Financial Action Task Force's grey list, despite them designating crypto as a financial product. In other news, also from last week, Binance has announced its support for new African currencies without the need for third parties. To get more on this, please be sure to listen to last week's episode of Sats and Gwei to be sure you are up to date. Now, moving over to this week's set of news, we're going to start off with Google. Google searches for the term crypto leverage are second highest in Nigeria. Now, leveraging is a technique employed in trading to open a position that exceeds the trading amount deposited. Crypto trading has gained much popularity across Africa and in Nigeria in particular. A Google analysis of the keyword leveraged trading has listed Nigeria as the second highest nation worldwide for queries involving cryptocurrency leverage. Singapore is the only other country that exceeded Nigeria on the search index with a score of 100, with Nigeria coming in at 94. This is strongly indicative of the fact that the inquisition of people in African countries, notably Nigeria, Ghana, and South Africa, about cryptocurrency and leverage trading products is still on the rise. This indicator holds much promise for cryptocurrency on the African continent in the sense that adoption won't be slowing down anytime soon. On to our next headline. Venom, a layer one blockchain serving North Africa and other emerging markets, launches its $1 billion fund for Web3 startups. In recent months, the African Web3 space has been heralded with news of various blockchain giants launching Web3 startup funds. Venom, an emerging markets layer one blockchain supporting North Africa, is one of them. The alliance formed between Venom Foundation and Iceberg Capital will see a joint investment of $1 billion in a number of Web3 apps. The alliance will also provide funding to startups at various levels within the Web3 ecosystem. Grants and equity investments will range from $25,000 to as much as $200,000. In the words of Mustafa Khariba, a spokesperson for the fund, and I quote, "Even though the blockchain industry is witnessing a steep correction in prices, we believe that builders will continue to innovate and build. A good time to launch something like this is when liquidity is scarce. You can show up with a lot of capital and there's a lot of people, good projects, hopefully, that are having a hard time getting capital, end quote. Venom, through its venture capital arm, will also provide a startup incubation and advisory services to founders. On to our next headline, the Celo community approves a regional DAO in Africa with projects to support grassroots builders. One of the many ways Web3 builders are enabled to continue building is through access to grants. The Celo Foundation has recently approved a budget of $428,000 to a regional DAO to fund its activities in about five countries across the African continent, initially with the aim of supporting Web3 builders and grassroots communities. The proposal went live in the Celo Community Forum on the 22nd of February 2023 and passed the quorum for approval with over 65,447,195 Celo. The stewards of the DAO include Chimezi Chuta, Noah Balesanvu, Khadija Amusat, and Aliu Musa, all of whom are signatories to the DAO Multisig. Amongst other things, the DAO will focus its resources on attracting Web3 talent locally by focusing mainly on local developer incubator programs, community education, and university outreach, as well as building market awareness and brand positioning through events like CryptoFest, DevFest, and ETH Safari. The goal of the DAO is in line with the mission of Celo, which is to develop a more just and sustainable financial system where value is returned to the underbanked people who need it the most. On to our next headline, FTX turns to its crypto investors to try and regain its lost trust in Africa's crypto industry. The FTX debacle shook up the entire crypto space in late 2022, wiping out around $40 billion of consumer assets. Since then, not much has been heard about or from the exchange. However, they have since re-emerged in recent times and are shifting their focus to Africa's crypto ecosystem as they work to recover from last year's crash. FTX is now looking to tap into the potential of the youthful population in African society and recruit African crypto ambassadors. They claimed that each student would receive a 40% commission if they recommended a friend to trade on the already insolvent cryptocurrency exchange. While some speculators perceive this as a genuine act by the former crypto giant, others see it as a dubious move to regain its lost popularity. Now, I was trying really, really hard not to share any of my personal opinion, but I can't not. This to me says they screwed up that they were being put in line by, you know, partially in line by regulators, by, you know, the general retail market. And they decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go over there where we know a lot of, you know, young people would more than gladly, in fact, young people anywhere would more than gladly take a 40% commission if you recommend a friend. Because we all know somebody who knows somebody, right? So you simply recommend, you get a 40% commission. Who would say no to something like that? But for you to come to Africa when you know you screwed up, when you know none of what you're doing is kosher, and expect us to welcome you with open arms is deplorable. On to our next headline. A Web3 platform has partnered with Self-Custody Wallet to broaden crypto adoption in Africa. The third version of the African Web3 platform Cassava Network, which focuses on non-fungible tokens, gaming, and loyalty rewards, has just been released. This version integrates with the non-custodial smart contract wallet Unipass, which enables users to use email addresses rather than seed phrases and gas. Through this partnership, users can hold, send, and receive on-chain digital assets across various Ethereum virtual machine blockchains, or EVMs, and automatically register for Unipass when they establish Cassava accounts. In a statement made by the co-founder of the Cassava Network, Moloko Sano, during an interview, and I quote, "With Cassava V3, we have made it easy for African users to interact with their favorite Web2 and Web3 brands. As users interact with these brands, they earn both CB coins and other on-chain rewards specified by partners," end quote. I'm personally not a fan of not having seed phrases and gas and just using email addresses, because obviously I think many of us have come across our email addresses either being hacked or something of the sort. It's very, very easy to hack email addresses versus, you know, perhaps seed phrases. Unless you give away your seed phrases, it's a lot more complicated for one to do that. So that extra layer of security is, in my opinion, very much needed. However, for the purposes of perhaps onboarding new people, to be able to allow them the ease of being able to get within the space and perhaps later on, hopefully moving over to a more intentional wallet security, I think perhaps they may be onto something. I do think, however, that there needs to still be education towards making sure people are aware that this may not be the best option for long-term use, but rather just for, you know, when you're getting started and trying to get yourself more involved within the space. On to our next headline, Unstoppable Women of Web3 lead an initiative to provide Web3 metaverse education for 6 million African women. In commemoration of International Women's Day on the 8th of March 2023, the Unstoppable Women of Web3, a diversity and education group on a mission to level the playing field in Web3, very recently announced its commitment to providing Web3 and metaverse education to 6 million women in Africa over the next 5 years. Through free unstoppable domains that people can register for the next 30 days, the organization will increase access to user-owned digital identification. In a statement by Sandy Carter, the founder and COO of Unstoppable Women of Web3, and I quote, "Africa has one of the most rapidly growing Web3 sectors today, but it's not exempt from the gender equality issues we see across the globe, and we need to make sure that everyone has a seat at the table," end quote. She further went on to say in another statement that, and I quote, "Empowerment starts with education, which is why we're thrilled to lead this initiative to educate 6 million more African women on the metaverse and Web3," end quote. I think this is quite impressive. I think if anything, this is one of the, you know, it's one of those things that happen and you go, okay, thank you for seeing me, you know, thank you for seeing us. I think the entire space as a whole can feel very crypto bro-y. So it is quite encouraging for people to not only be aware of this, but also say, you know what, we're not going to allow you to be left behind. So kudos to them. I do hope there is, you know, nothing else under the hood. But personally, from a personal standpoint, as it stands on the surface, I would more than gladly support an initiative such as this one. On to our next headline, the metaverse helps bring water to Africa. Africa Rare, one of Africa's very first metaverse projects, has partnered with Innovation Africa, a non-profit organization, to help provide clean drinking water to people all over the continent. This project is in response to the chronic lack of water that at least 418 million inhabitants of the African continent are currently facing. Innovation Africa has successfully implemented over 800 projects across 10 African nations, enhancing the lives of over 4 million people and attempting to remedy this problem. Africa Rare is building a unique Innovation Africa Village in Ubuntuland to highlight the company's life-changing work in order to further this goal. In addition, Africa Rare will introduce its Drops of Lifeline of distinctive water drop NFTs. Now, depending on the kind of contribution made by the buyer, the collection currently consists of 5 water drops in the following metals: diamond, gold, silver, platinum, and bronze. Now, of course, be sure to do your own research before you make any purchases, as well as checking out the FAQs to be certain what exactly would need to be, how much perhaps you would need to contribute to be able to get all 5 of the water drops, or perhaps one of them, what the limits are, etc., etc. Be sure to do as much research as you can before you spend any of your money or make any form of investment, as always. On to our very last and one of the more devastating headlines for the week. Here is a basic rundown of the Silvergate and Silicon Valley Bank situations. We're going to start with Silvergate. Now, Silvergate was one of the biggest crypto-friendly banks, with 90% of its deposits being in crypto. By Q3 of 2022, Silvergate had $12 billion in deposits, servicing other institutions such as Coinbase, Crypto.com, Circle, LedgerX, and Paxos, to name a few. After what has been a very long period of uncertain turmoil, Silvergate seemingly capitulated under a mix of market and regulatory pressure. Essentially, they experienced somewhat of a basic bank run. Silvergate stock did not respond well to a 2-week delay of the annual SEC filing when they tanked by 55% on Thursday. Silvergate clients responded within reason to this by severing their ties with the bank. Without getting too bogged down by the numbers, Silvergate has lost around $750 million just to inflation hiking, just to the hiking of rates throughout inflation, and around $1 billion US dollars to the FTX debacle. Now, the bank buckled under the combination of massive capital withdrawals and unwanted scrutiny. Bloomberg's Matt Levine says, and I quote, "The story today is that Silvergate's customers are withdrawing their money because they're worried about Silvergate. You know, in light of recent developments and out of abundance of caution, classic bank run stuff. But that's not why they were withdrawing their money in late 2022 when the trouble actually started. Then, they were withdrawing their money because crypto had collapsed. Silvergate's crypto exchange customers faced withdrawals from their customers, so they took their money out of Silvergate. The customers, that is, crypto exchanges, were the problem, not Silvergate." End quote. Now, the crypto market has since dipped quite heavily in response to this by at least a 4.8% decline within the week. Moving over to the Silicon Valley Bank situation. SVB, which is a bank that was also a trusted partner to the US's innovation economy, has just suffered a seemingly classic bank run as well, much too similar to the ones we saw in the 2008 crisis. A very few traditional banks have sufficient liquidity to even be able to survive something of this nature. It seems the run itself was triggered after the bank failed to communicate a surprise share sale worth $2.25 billion US dollars, and a panic-induced sell-off ensued shortly after. SVB was forced to sell a lot of their long-duration assets in order to meet some of the redemption demand. This caused what is known as a short-term liquidity crunch, which also led to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, that is FDIC, stepping in, bringing them to a point in history that the U.S. has seen before: the decision to either help them out of this hole or stand by in waiting. Because SVB banks so many startups, many founders and employers may not be able to make payroll. Venture investors may not be able to raise funds, and the entire sector could be in an even deeper hole than it seems to be, which is beyond devastating. On the matter of USDC, the USDC stablecoin is known to be collateralized at around 77% with US Treasury bills, with that extra 23% being cash held with a variety of institutions. The reserves are held in custody by BNY Mellon and active liquidity and asset management forced BlackRock. The long and short of it, the issuance and redemption of USDC is constrained by the working hours of the US banking system, meaning we will have to wait until Monday to know exactly what's next. Sometime on Friday, the USDC stablecoin depegged from its 1-to-1 dollar ratio down to as low as $0.86. DAI has also depegged from its 1-to-1 dollar ratio to as low as $0.897. Circle has since said they would cover any missing liquidity using their corporate funds, but one cannot fault the need to withdraw deposits, particularly when 93% of the $161 billion US dollar deposits appear to have been uninsured. Now, to close this off, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has ruled out the possibility of a government bailout for SVB, which, if true, could mean a catastrophic market crash come Monday. While speaking to CBS, she said, and I quote, "Let me be clear that during the financial crisis, there were investors and owners of systematically large banks that were bailed out, and the reforms that have been put in place since then mean that we're not going to do that again. But we're concerned about the depositors and are focused on trying to meet their needs," end quote. She went on to say that regulators are exploring a wide range of options, including acquisitions. Former FDIC Chair Sheila Bair also chips in that finding a buyer for SVB may be the only best outcome. And none of this is ideal. All of this is daunting, and a lot of the jargon and the lingo can be so confusing that a lot of people are just straight up demotivated, and you feel like maybe this is not the place for you. The long and short of it, I think the biggest lesson we have learned is that cash is king, queen, emperor, empress, all of it. Cash at this point in time is the most important thing you can possibly have. However, the conundrum now becomes, but who can you trust? Because the banks are not stable, but neither are stable coins. So what happens then? I think the best thing one can just say to you is figure out what works for you. You know, find the best way for you to make sure that you have the cash you need on hand in whatever format you feel you're most comfortable in. However, it may also be time for us to admit the fact that we will not come out of this unscathed. Whether you're in crypto or not, you are going to be affected overall as a whole by the lack of trust and the lack of stability that exists when it comes to finance globally. I do not have much else to say except try to ensure that you, your friends, and all your beneficiaries are kept as safe as possible, which is hard in a time like this when all you did was have a startup and bank with a bank that has been trusted for many, 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 many years with a lot of money. You can never truly know what goes on behind the doors of a bank. A lot of us don't fully understand exactly how banks work. And that is concerning, but it also means that we have to hunker down now more than ever to figure out a solution for us to take our financial freedom into our own hands. Just a reminder that none of what we've shared today is financial advice. It's only the opinions of the individuals that make the show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. And as I have mentioned quite a lot in the past few episodes, our goal was to reach 10,000 listeners and subscribers. And I am delighted to say that we've reached our goal. We've exceeded this goal a lot sooner than we had anticipated. And for that, I have to say thank you. You are the reason we do what we do and the reason we continue to do what we do. So if you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe, share this with another friend, and leave a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from, should you be able to do so. And if you're able, please also leave a review. Let us know how we can continue to serve you, you know, what you've enjoyed the most in the past few months. Until next time, be sure to take care of yourselves and your loved ones. But above all, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.